I keep forgetting that that lady's going to talk, and I try to meet her, and I never win. So, welcome everyone to The Bone Collector. My name is Patty, and I collect bones. All types of bones. History, paranormal, raccoon, coyote. That's an inside joke. One day we'll get into that. So tonight's show, I found kind of fascinating when I was doing some research on some other topics, and I came across some pretty interesting laws that had to do with the paranormal. And I just wanted to talk about those tonight because they're kind of cool. Interesting. There's a, you know, the devil, about the devil and genies and ghost rites and witches and where you can and cannot die without being punished and all sorts of just interesting laws. And then, of course, like, gave a little thought on to what are some pretty weird laws that are on the books, actually on the books in the United States. And I've got a bunch of those that are just going to make you scratch your head a little bit and say, something is wrong here. So the first one that kind of caught my attention is out of Skamania County, Washington State. Now, it's illegal to murder a Sasquatch in Skamania County, Washington. The premise of the law is that the Sasquatch, otherwise known as Bigfoot, is supposedly half human or humanoid. So crimes against the Sasquatch are the same as those against man. And they go as far as to say that Sasquatch is an endangered species and that all of Skamania County is a Bigfoot refuge. So it is very much illegal to hunt Bigfoot, kill Bigfoot. Anything, I guess you could have a friendly relationship with Bigfoot, but anything that you want to do to harm them is illegal in Skamania County. However, it is not illegal to hunt Bigfoot, kill a Bigfoot in Texas. You can hunt and kill a Sasquatch in Texas if you have attained the proper hunting license and permissions to do so. So I'm not quite sure what the proper license is going to say, but, you know, you've got to wonder. Now, to go further on, now this is in Oregon. Michelle Dennehy, the Wildlife Communications Coordinator for Oregon's Department of Fish and Wildlife, says instead of going after Bigfoot with a gun, Dennehy suggests a legal alternative for trackers planning their next expedition. And I would hope to say that she's joking with this. And she goes on to say, when it comes to capturing Bigfoot, a supersized live trap is the way to go. The cage trap should be large enough to allow Bigfoot to have sufficient space to turn, stand, and lay naturally, and of sufficient strength to prevent escape. An extra large cage from Habahart is only big enough to contain a bobcat, so Bigfoot hunters will likely need to have a trap custom made. And because Bigfoot falls under prohibited status, transporting, selling, or exchanging the animal is against the law in Oregon. The best course of action for any Bigfoot hunters who find success on their mission would be to call the Wildlife Department and allow state officials to handle it from there. Now, California says that Bigfoot is and other cryptid animals are not classified in any particular species. Therefore, any animal not classified is prohibited. So there you go on some Bigfoot laws. Now, we're going to go on to a case in, it has to do with exorcism. Now, if anybody's familiar with exorcisms, they're not usually done with the permission of the participant. So you're going to have, well, let me see. Let me try to put it into perspective. Usually in an exorcism, because a subject that is possessed by a demon or the devil itself has super strength and is hard to control. So those that are performing the exorcism are going to have to control that individual in some way, shape, or form, usually by chaining them hands and legs to the bedposts or tying them to a chair, handcuffing them to a sturdy object, whatever it may be. Now, this woman named Laura Schubert apparently had been possessed by some kind of entity, and after the act was performed, she decided that she was going to sue the Pleasant Glade Assembly of God, saying that she was unlawfully detained. Now, the court in her area would not hear the case, so it went to the Texas Supreme Court, which denied hearing the case because it violated the separation of church and state, and the state of Texas had nothing that they could say that they could do in this event. So that is exorcisms. I had a little bit more on it, but dang, I can't find that stinking little thing that I had. So we're going to go on to the next. All right. You cannot sue the devil in the United States, but you can sue a genie in Saudi Arabia. Now, you cannot sue the devil in the United States because every court in this great country would strike it down because no state is going to take ownership of the devil as a resident of its jurisdiction, and it would then make him a foreign national. And, of course, a regular court in the United States cannot try a foreign national, so they would end up not hearing the case. Kind of a little lame if you ask me on that one, but I guess you gotta do what you're gonna do. All right, next one is stigmatized properties. Do you have to disclose that you have a haunted house that you are selling? In New York State, you do have to disclose that your house is haunted. Otherwise, you can be sued for false representation. One state goes as far as to say that if you do not upfront tell people that the house is haunted, you can be sued for misrepresentation, because when you sell a house, you're pretty much saying that it is vacant and unoccupied. However, if it is haunted, it is very well occupied by an unseen being, and they can sue you for a breach of contract because you didn't disclose that it was haunted. There are other states that say that paranormal activity, you cannot prove or disprove that ghosts exist. Massachusetts is one of those states that you do not have to let them know, the buyer know, that there is a haunting on the premises. Now, also falls underneath stigmatized properties. This would be a stigmatized property, is a house that has had a murder or a suicide. Some states do require that you let your prospective buyer know if there was a murder or suicide on the property in the last 3 years. I think I would want to know, you know, more than 3 years back if there was something going on. Now, here we go. Going back to the suing the devil, the devil is violated, claim that Gerald Mayo tried to sue Satan and his staff, claiming that the devil had violated his civil rights and on numerous occasions caused the plaintiff misery and unwarranted threats against the will of the plaintiff, that Satan had placed deliberate obstacles in his path and has caused the plaintiff's downfall. Now, in 1971, the United States District Court decided that it was difficult to hold Satan accountable for his deeds. He said that even if Satan were to appear, he would be considered a foreign sovereign and would argue that the U.S. court lacked personal jurisdiction over him. He also noted that Mayo's case could work well as a class action lawsuit. Surely there were others with similar complaints against the devil, but the case was ultimately dismissed because Mayo provided no instructions for serving process on Satan. So there you go. You can sue him in a class action suit, but you cannot sue him in a criminal case or a civil case. But how are you going to serve in papers to come to court? Now, we're going to go on to some witchy things. In Swaziland, witches must fly below 1,800 feet or be faced with a fine equivalent to almost $43,000 U.S. money. Can you imagine that? Witches discriminated against. You can't fly high, you gotta fly low. Protect Swaziland's airspace. In addition, that country is very superstitious, very much believes in witchcraft and black magic, and they want to keep their country safe and keep those witches in line. Now, a French town. It is illegal to die within the city limits without first purchasing a burial plot in the local cemetery. The mayor of that town says those who break the law will be severely punished. How? That's my only question, is how will they be severely punished if they die inside the city limits without purchasing a burial plot? I don't think that mayor thought that one through. And this is a very tongue-in-cheek, very, you know, laid-back, comical show tonight. I've just been having to take some time with a lot of family stuff right now with my grandma. So we wanted something a little light tonight, that, you know, something too heavy that kind of bring everybody down. Let's make everybody laugh a little bit. Now, in London, it is illegal for a cab to transport rabid dogs or corpses. So how, I can only imagine. Corpse standing on the corner. Waving a flag. Hailing a cab and take a ride. Where you want to go? City morgue. Sorry. Can't take you. Against the law. In the Witchcraft Act of 1735, the last person executed for witchcraft was Janet Horn in 1727, and she would likely have been protected under the Witchcraft Act of 1735, which was passed by Parliament, and it made it a crime for a person to claim that any other person had magical power or was guilty of practicing witchcraft. An interesting figure associated with this act was Lord James Erskine, who offered significant opposition and was a fervent believer in the existence of witchcraft. So he did not want this to go through, but the law was passed and effectively abolished the hunting and execution of witches in England, and marked the end of an era of witch trials, and then the country moved into the Enlightenment times, where it was fine to practice witchcraft and herbs and stuff, which, you know, not all witches are devil worshippers, just to put a little side note out there. A lot of witches practice. You've got the kitchen witches and the garden witches, green witches, and all of that. Much of them are very much Christian people. And witches is just kind of a blanket term, but this is that they use unconventional ways to heal and to go about their lives. Now, I have an interesting one here that it's called a Beetlejuice. I mean, if you all remember that movie, the family lived in a house that was occupied by a husband and wife who had been tragically killed. And if you said the name three times, that Beetlejuice would appear, and it was just a very funny movie. However, if you put some of those things into real estate law, you kind of want to think. Now, without will assigning future possessory interest, this is what it says, to potential heirs, you retain a free, simple, absolute interest in the house. And the interest is the strongest type of interest. It entails the outright and full ownership of property, including land and all immovable attached structures, for an indefinite amount of time. So, these absolute interests, after you die, if you don't have a will or a successor, you don't gift it, you don't say it's going to sell, that house still belongs to the owner whether they're alive or dead. So, the Maitlands, who were the two husband and wife spirits, they actually own their house indefinitely, and their interest in the house was indefinite, and that the sale of the house to the Dietz family had been done without the Maitland's permission, therefore it was invalid. Pretty good point right there. so then to prove open and notorious possession, the ghost must perform open acts of ownership. The person is the ordinary prudence on notice of the fact that a ghost is claiming the land as their own by making weird noises, lowering the temperature of a room drastically, opening and slamming doors, and appearing visible before the living occupants of the house. The ghost has effectively made the living aware of the ghost's claim on the house. Which is definitely what the Maitlands did. In the proof hostile possession, the ghost must show that at no point during the 15-year possession did the ghost have permission of the living owner to haunt the house. Alternately, if the ghost and the living owners are strangers, possession may be considered hostile if the haunting is both open and notorious. So, basically what it says is they've claimed ownership of the house. They didn't give permission for the house to be sold. And so the Maitlands have not been haunting their house long enough to satisfy the 15-year requirement. That there remains a potential that they could fulfill this requirement over time, considering how they are tied to the house for 125 years. But the mere expectation that they will be present in the house for that length of time is not enough to, on its own, to satisfy the continuous requirement. So there's gives and takes on this law. However, I would think if they took it to court, Maitlands might win because they did not authorize the sale of that house. And they have made their presence known that it is their house and they have possession of it. So there you go. A lot of the laws, when you do paranormal laws and you search that, a lot of that comes up is actually laws on whether or not you have to tell people that your house is haunted. There is a thing that's a meme that I saw on Facebook that shows a for sale sign in front of a house, and the little slide that goes on top of the frame says, not haunted. I tell you something, if they have to put a sign that says not haunted on the sign outside in front of the house on the for sale sign, definitely haunted. I also love the one, and actually I've seen it, and it is a Rochester listing. It was kind of funny. I believe it was a Remax. But it was a 585 number on it, and it was in the house. If you know the area, the house is definitely located across the street from Mount Hope Cemetery, and that for sale sign says, quiet neighbors. Gotta love the humor in real estate. So, I promised that we were going to do some dumb laws in these United States. Actually, all the states had some dumb laws, but some of them were worse than others, and they've just got you scratching your head and where you want to go, did somebody actually do this, that they had to make it a law? Because you do know that those warning labels on all the products that you buy were put there because somebody actually did what they were warning you not to do. My biggest one to point out to people is on a curling iron, it says explicitly on that warning label, for external use only. Think about that for a minute. There was a reason why that was put on there. We're going to get started here with some dumb laws in the United States. Alabama and Louisiana both share this law that you cannot chain your alligator to a fire hydrant. Arizona says that anybody caught stealing soap must wash with it until it is all used up. So if you're going to steal a bar of soap in Arizona, make sure it's a brand that you use and make sure it's not something that you are going to get a rash from, because those bars of soap last a long time and you're going to have a nasty, itchy spot. People are going to think that there's something wrong with you. California, it's illegal to set a mouse trap without a hunting license. Let me repeat that. In California, it is illegal to set a mouse trap without a hunting license. Exactly, where do you go and how do you ask for a hunting license to catch a mouse? Colorado, the dog catcher must notify dogs of impounding by posting for 3 consecutive days a notice on a tree in the city park and along a public road running through said park. Apparently in Colorado, those dogs can read, and you need to give them warning that you're going to come and get them if you're a stray. In Sterling, Colorado, cats may not run loose without having been fit with a tail light. In Connecticut, a pickle is not officially a pickle unless it bounces. Georgia tells us that it is illegal to use profanity in the presence of a corpse. In Quitman, Georgia, it is illegal for a chicken to cross the road. And in Jonesboro, Georgia, it is illegal to say, oh boy. But it's illegal to spit from a car or a bus in Marietta, Georgia, but you can spit from a truck. Let's see here. We got Idaho. It makes it illegal for a man to give his sweetheart a box of candy weighing less than 50 pounds. And if you're 88 years old in Idaho Falls, Idaho, or older, it's illegal to ride your motorcycle. In Illinois, the Des Plaines says that wheelbarrows for sale may not have their signs chained to a tree. And the law forbids you from eating in a place while it's on fire. Kansas. It's illegal to catch bullfrogs in a tomato patch. It's illegal to hunt whales. And it's illegal to put ice cream on cherry pie. All cars entering the city limits of Lawrence, Kansas must first sound their horn to warn the horses of their arrival. And no one may wear a bee in their hat. Louisiana tells us that biting someone with your natural teeth is simple assault, while biting someone with your false teeth is aggravated assault. And mourners that are awake may not eat more than 3 sandwiches. Massachusetts tells us that no gorillas are allowed to ride in the backseat of your car. And it's also unlawful to water your lawn when it's raining. I just saw a squirrel one. We have to read the squirrel one. Where did I? Oh my God, I didn't have this one highlighted. That makes me sad. All right. Minnesota, Blue Earth, Minnesota law says that no child under the age of 12 may talk over the telephone unless monitored by a parent. And a person may not cross state lines with a duck on its head. Nebraska, all these poor people in Nebraska, Lehigh, Nebraska, don't know what they're missing because it is illegal to sell donut holes. And in Las Vegas, Nevada, it's against the law to pawn your dentures. I wonder how much Pawn Stars would give you for your dentures. And why is illegal to do that? Excelsior Springs, Missouri says that worrying a squirrel is not tolerated. And hard objects may not be thrown by hand. Not quite sure how you're going to throw them, but not by hand. North Carolina, before a man asks a woman for hand in marriage, he must be inspected by all the barnyard animals on the young woman's property to ensure a harmonious farm life. So what happens if the horse likes you and the pig likes you? The chickens are okay with you. But that damn rooster, he can't stand him. It's a marriage off. And how do you know if the rooster doesn't like the man she's going to marry? So many questions in that law. So many questions. Let's see here. We did that one. All right. And if you live in Ohio, it's against the law to kill a housefly within 160 feet of a church without a license. Okay. I thought that catching a mouse without a license was a little ridiculous. But to have a license to kill a fly within 160 feet of a church? That's a little insane. 161 feet away from the church, fine, you don't need a license. Just make sure that that fly falls right on the other side of that line. Ada, Oklahoma says that if you wear a New York Jets jersey, you may be put in jail. And in Bromide, Oklahoma, it's illegal for children to use towels as capes and jump from houses pretending to be Superman. Can they jump from their house and pretend that they're Spider-Man if they don't have a cape? Not sure on that one. So many questions on these laws. In Pennsylvania, if a motorist sees a horse coming down the road, the driver must pull off to the side of the road and cover the vehicle with canvas. If the horse is still scared, the driver must get out of his car and take it apart until the horse is scared no more. Oh my God, I can't make these up. You may not catch fish by any body part except the mouth in Pennsylvania. And all fire hydrants must be checked 1 hour before all fires. And we get down to South Carolina, Spartanburg, South Carolina, eating a watermelon in the Magnolia Street Cemetery is forbidden. You can eat a peach and an apple and any other piece of fruit, but you cannot eat a watermelon there. South Dakota, it's illegal to lie down and fall asleep in a cheese factory. Oh, and the wonderful state of Tennessee says that it is illegal to catch a fish with a lasso. It's also illegal for frogs to croak after 11 p.m. In Memphis, it's illegal for a woman to drive a car unless there is a man either running or walking in front of it, waving a red flag to warn approaching motorists and pedestrians. Wow, I think these should have gone off the books a long time ago. Oh. A city ordinance in Texas states that a person cannot go barefoot without first obtaining a special $5 permit. So if you would like to go barefoot in Texas, make sure you get ready to pay that $5 to get a permit to do so. In Borger, Texas, it's against the law to throw confetti, rubber balls, feather dusters, whips, or quirts, which is a riding crop, and explosive fireworks of any kind. It's also illegal to milk another man's cow. And an old Texas law states that you are unable to tuck your pants into one boot unless you own 10 or more cattle. In Utah, birds have the right of way of all highways. This one is, in Utah, also the husband is responsible for every criminal act committed by his wife while she is in his presence. Culpeper, Virginia says that you cannot wash a mule on the sidewalk. And it's illegal in Salem, Virginia, to leave your house without knowing where you are going. Apparently in Washington State, you can't buy a lollipop. I want to check on that one and actually see. If that is true in Wilbur, Washington, you can't ride an ugly horse. In West Virginia, it's illegal for chickens to lay eggs between 8 a.m. before 8 a.m. and after 4 p.m. This is just whoosh. All sorts of cheese and butter product, milk, dairy product things in Wisconsin. At one time, margarine was illegal. And cheese making requires a cheesemaker's license. Limburger cheese making requires a master cheesemaker's license. In Wisconsin, you are allowed to marry your house. And after 3 a.m., you need to send a rocket signal in the air after every mile you drive. And in Cheyenne, Wyoming, citizens may not take showers on Wednesday. And you may also not take a picture of a rabbit during the month of June. So, we got paranormal laws. We got crazy dumb laws. And actually, very, very surprised to say that New York State's laws didn't have nothing. They could not touch the laws that I read. Oh, this great United States of America that we live in, and the things that we cannot do. Just remember, don't do any of those things that I just told you to if you plan on visiting any of those states, because I'd like to see you guys back home and listening to me instead of sitting in a jail cell. Now, apparently, I just got an inbox from one of my friends on Facebook that shows an ad for wooden caskets. Actual wooden caskets. $500, people. They've got four available. It's on Rochester Online Garage Sale. Kimberly Owen Doty is selling wooden caskets. She has one for sale. She has three others that she's turned into a bar, a fridge, and a couch. She's keeping all those but selling that one. She also has a church truck. Soon I'll be listing the hearse, but have to get some paperwork straightened out first. I would like to have for my shows is a hearse. So, next week, we're behind. I've had all my shows all straightened out for through the end of May. Next week, we're going to talk about the tragic history of Willard Asylum, which is in Ovid, New York. One of my favorite places to talk about, just because of the rich history, but also the tragic stories of the people that were there. Love to visit the Willard Cemetery. Over 5,000 people are buried there anonymously. There's no headstones marking them to who was there, and we'll get into that next week. The ghost of the gravedigger and all of that that has to do with Willard Asylum, one of the first mental institutions built in New York State to relieve the pressure on the poorhouses in each county in New York State that were carrying the brunt of the mental patients, especially the criminally insane that were living in close quarters with women and children who were the most vulnerable of all the people at the poorhouses. So all of a sudden my nose just stuffed up, so we're a little stuffy sounding right now. But so next week we're going to talk about the tragic history of Willard Asylum, and then the following week we're going to talk about architecture and the paranormal, so different things that were done to houses that were meant to ward off evil spirits. We're going to talk about that and the amulets and trinkets and things that people would rely on also to protect their homes. We're going to also talk about this month cemeteries, particularly the Pioneer Cemetery in Spencerport and St. Mary's Catholic Cemetery in Brockport and some in the city that were lost to urban development. And then before I go on vacation, the last one for the month of May will be early U.S. serial killers. And anybody that knows me, serial killers is one of my favorite topics. So those are what you've got to look forward to for the month of May. I'm really going to enjoy talking to you guys next week about Willard. It's going to be probably a full hour show, because there's just so much history and so many stories and stuff that goes with that. I hope you guys enjoy just this little light, fun show tonight. Just, we didn't need to do anything that was too serious. Can't be serious all the time, and been surrounded by a lot of serious lately, so I just want to do something a little fun. Remember those laws. Keep yourself out of jail and keep yourself out of trouble. Talk to you next week.